We're here on Jaguars.com Live at the NFL Scouting Combine with Alex Marvez of, and I'll let you do it. You tell me who you are.
SiriusXM NFL Radio Sporting News and a longtime friend of John Osher from his days covering the Florida Gators at the Florida Times Union. How about them apples, baby?
I would say when you were just a wee guy, but you weren't that wee back then.
I was
then.
Never really wee. No. It's hard to describe me as wee. It's like calling Orlando Brown. We. By the way, I think he's still...
Or long arms, right?
Yeah, I think Orlando's still running the 40, by the way. Just
what
to,
size
to
are your hands, by the way?
Never measured.
How they doing?
I'll try to get a stretch. I also want to be like Baker Mayfield and just become taller since the recent Senior Bowl. How about that?
He's a young man, Alex, who's still growing. And that's
love
important.
It. Love it. Just like all of us, we try
you
to
You don't
keep
get that much of the combine, do you? No. A young guy still growing.
Not too much. Not too much. No,
now, maybe they start having high school juniors come out.
It's in that bucket. You know what I mean?
Tell me about... We've talked on air for probably 5 or 6 straight years now, ever since we started doing live stuff. And there are a lot of years where we talked about the Jaguars where you sort of had to say, well, maybe they'll be this, maybe this. As a guy who's followed this team closely, and you know people in the organization well, tell me your thoughts as they got hot this past season, as they had success. Obviously, you're a neutral guy. But you also know people in the organization you had to feel good for.
Oh, I have to feel great for. I mean, and listen, starting from the top with Shad Khan, who tries to do things the right way for this organization, tries to do things the right way for the entire city of Jacksonville, to be quite honest with you. You look at the rejuvenation of that area. You look at the stadium. You look at now Daly's Place coming in, bringing in some great concerts, including Steely Dan, by the way, on May 14th.
Are you a Steely Dan guy?
I'm a huge Steely Dan guy.
Are you coming
guy.
Up for it?
Of course I'm coming
All
up
right,
for it.
Well, we'll hook
Even
up.
Even the Doobie Brothers will be fired up for that. You know what I mean?
We'll hook up together. Or we won't. Either way.
Yeah, no, we All will. Right. We will. But I mean, but when you look at that, and then you look at this talent on this team, that was the common refrain in recent years. All the talent was there. It just hadn't come together. And listen, I love me some Gus Bradley. And nobody in this organization says a cross word about Gus as a person. But as a coach, as a first-time head coach, I just think he wasn't able to get these guys to all come together as a team.
And it had to change by the end.
It did. Yeah. And listen, the signing of Calais Campbell cannot be understated. And it was a signing that went against the grain. Normally, you're not paying big money to a player who's had as much time in the NFL as Calais, who's, you know, now in his 30s. But yet, when he came in, I think you started to see some of these young guys. Dante Fowler Jr., for example, you look up to someone like this, and wow, this is a role model, someone you want to pattern yourself after him. You bring in an A.J. Boye, someone who had to scrap and claw and fight to get to the status that he did in the NFL. That's a great guy for Jalen Ramsey to play off of. You keep Paul Posluszny. You know, some teams would have said, Paul, nah, you know what, you're a limited player at this point in your career. You know, you're not really a special teams guy. We're going to move on. But they were smart enough to keep someone like that there. And then you see this offense with Blake Bortles, and kudos to him because, and I asked Doug Marone this the other day, John, when I went to Jaguars training camp, I thought it was the same old. I this was the worst training camp environment, and I'd been to 13 or so around the NFL, and I couldn't believe what had happened. But, you know, Doug had something in his mind about this process, winning the trust of this team. He said, listen, I will take you to where we need to be. And to get that first victory against Houston was so huge. In retrospect, so it was a team where also, let's be honest here too, and this is something that the Jaguars, no matter what, cannot account for in 2018, and it probably will not be a positive, the health of the squad overall.
Sure.
I believe basically every defensive starter played every game.
Telvin Smith missed 2 with a concussion, and that was it.
That was it, right?
Out of the top 13, 14 guys on defense.
I mean, that's an extreme case of luck, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, who knows how things are going to be as far as the receiving position goes. Is Allen Robinson coming back? It looks like franchise tag, maybe get him re-signed, and you hope Blake Bortles continues to ascend, but so much. So refreshing to see it. And, you know, listen, give Doug Marone a lot of credit for reinventing himself. And it's funny, too, because I'm starting to see a little personality with Doug. And it came out through bologna sandwiches, right? And his love of that.
He shows it to you reluctantly, but it's under there.
I also found out, too, that he is a fan of macaroni and cheese with hot dogs sliced up in them. This is breaking news here on Jaguars.
Isn't that almost the same thing? Isn't bologna basically macaroni and cheese with hot dogs sliced up in it?
That's a great question. I never really thought of it that way.
It could be.
It could be. But, you know, and he is he is really connected with these guys. And listen, who knew Todd Walsh was this good a defensive coordinator either? So many positive things for this franchise. And it's great to see. It's refreshing to see a new team emerge in the NFL the way that the Jaguars did.
And a fun team, too. I mean,
it's
one that from afar, I think people nationally, I think the media started to attach on to it. What I wonder is, if they get a couple of national TV games this year, all of a sudden a guy like Jalen, a guy like Boye, a guy like Telvin Smith, there's some personalities on this team that if they maintain this success, they could be sort of your other favorite team nationally, right, which is sort of a thing. But they have the personalities. You've been around them. They have the personalities to be that. They're a confident, cocky young team. I think people will draw to it if they can maintain their success.
Yeah, and, you know, now it's a little bit different because no one's taking the Jacksonville Jaguars lightly. And listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers took the Jacksonville Jaguars lightly, even though they were in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pittsburgh was looking ahead to New England. I don't think any NFL team now is going to make that same mistake. The way that the Jags pushed the New England Patriots, there was a lot of reasons why things fell apart, really starting at the end of the first half. On down for Jacksonville. It's extremely frustrating, I know, for everyone involved with that. But I think it's also a lesson to be learned by this Jags team as well, moving ahead. But the expectations now so much higher in 2018 because this team got so far. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. And listen, the heat is still on Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to – I don't know if he'll ever really be able to quiet his critics until he wins a Super Bowl. It's much like Nick Foles. You could rip Nick Foles for a lot of things, not working out for the St. Louis Rams, not being able to beat out Alex Smith for a starting job when he had a chance in Kansas City, played one game, didn't really look impressive. But now that he did what he did, no one can say a thing about him. Well, it's going to sort of be the same with Blake. I don't know if he'll ever be the type of quarterback that's putting up 40 touchdowns with three interceptions, anything like that. But for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, he's the right guy. Plus, these guys like him. And I know that's a common refrain, but teammates stand up for Blake. Because
there's a real thing there. There is. It's different saying it and then acting it, and it always ringing true. And as you were saying, clearly do.
Well, he never throws anyone under a bus. You know what I mean? It's always he'll take the blame for it rather than, you know, saying anything that would put a teammate in a negative light. So I think that's really impressive too. And again, I'll be curious to see how, you know, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, you know, keep this team sharp. And I say Tom because listen, ultimately when you see Tom Coughlin in that building, you realize you sort of have two head coaches, right? And Tom not doing the X and O's, but you need to carry yourself a certain way. There's a responsibility.
Yeah, there's a spirit of leadership that he has. I wouldn't call him the head coach, but you know he's in the building and you know his voice is there.
And it's huge. And listen again, credit to Shad Khan for seeing that because this sort of, from what I understand, came together in a really odd sort of way, you know, where initially you interview some head coaching candidates and, you know, you're thinking of just bringing a new guy in, but then the idea comes, hey, why not have Tom serve as an overseer and pair him with someone that he's familiar with in Doug Marrone? And, you know, it worked out better than I think anyone could have possibly imagined.
You've covered the league a long time. And
you're saying I'm old now, right?
Well, we're both old. You're not as old.
But you're older than me,
And let's always forget.
JP looks older than both of us, by the way.
And, by the way, he set this interview up with you, right?
Yeah, and it's nice of him to show up.
Yeah, he's
really nice. Yeah,
doing something. I can't tell you what he's doing.
I heard it was bigger than
bigger.
Just that really hurts. Just
want to he used the phrase more important. I mean,
more
he was
important. Exact
very direct
words.
About
I could see JP with that ego doing that.
Speaking of throwing under the bus. Malik Jackson, Tashawn Gibson, Calais Campbell, Barry Church, A.J. Boye in a two-year period. And I've always been a non-free agency guy. You've covered this league long enough to know free agency doesn't always work. From a national perspective, somebody who covers the entire league, have you ever seen five work quite like that, that quickly, to that degree, with that much impact as free agents coming in? I'm not sure I have is why I'm asking.
Well, no, although we have to throw Julius Thomas in there as being an absolute flop. And then you think about the Brandon Albert
trade.
He was
2 years
ago,
so I was conveniently leaving him out.
Leaving him out, right. It doesn't fit the narrative at that point, right?
No, and I'm a big narrative guy.
You're big, you want to just keep it focused on this. Well, but and you think about it, this is one of the reasons that Dave Caldwell, you know, was kept as general manager. You know, he was building something, and it was a slow build. And then finally you get to a point that you think you're ready to win and you're not going to keep the guy. What is it that you preached to him all this time? He was smart with the salary cap.
Right.
He made really good signings. Let him have a chance to see this through. And obviously it worked out in a fantastic way for him. You know, he was the guy sitting there like Khrushchev back in the 1960s. For those of you a little too young that might not understand, but he was someone who got a shoe and banged it on the table to make a point in negotiations.
Cold yeah, I'm waiting up. For this to come back around. So
yeah, I'm going
you're
somewhere
getting
with
right.
this. I'm going somewhere with this. So, you know, he said Blake Bortles, it should be the starting quarterback, and they go with Blake. So that being said, I think it was just really smart of not only figuring out what it is that these free agents could bring, but how they would mesh in with the team culture. And there is a good culture there, and there's a confident culture. And that's, listen, for a team that had lost double-digit games for six straight years, I mean, you know, these Jags, I mean, they are known for their swag. And, you know, listen, there are teams that said nobody talked more trash than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think it comes from Jalen Ramsey. I think Telvin Smith, he was getting beat down. know, this guy never lost to Florida State. He never lost in high school. And you come to a team, and I saw it with the Cincinnati Bengals when I covered them.
Sure.
They had elite-level college guys, but you get there and the culture's lousy.
Right.
And then you become part of the losing culture.
It can be hard to change that out.
Yeah,
really,
and they did. And that's what's the great part about when you start winning and you start having some success and you do it on a consistent basis. Listen, there were games where the Jags, you know, took a step back, especially early on in the season.
Sure.
You know, that week two game against Tennessee. I mean, that was extremely disappointing in retrospect. But then to come back and keep winning and to do what you did against the Pittsburgh Steelers and to blow out the Baltimore Ravens in London. I mean, these were huge victories that all of a sudden you're just feeling better and better and better. But again, I just don't want to understate the injury aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you let most NFL teams go throughout a season without major injuries, and they had it at wide receiver, but other than that, offensive line was relatively healthy all year. Leonard Fournette, you know, was relatively healthy all year when he didn't, you know, obviously.
Yeah, he played through some stuff.
But yeah, but
didn't,
you know,
miss,
the ankle,
wasn't
but,
tragically out.
Right. I mean, those are big things. And if you're a Jags fan, you're just hoping can lightning strike twice in that regard.
Right. And what you hope is in the second year, you get better at some spots that can make up for a couple
better
of
depth.
Injuries. You hope that can counter it. And to your point, Doug Marrone, for the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season, he told us in some of our shows several times, this team was different. It was special, and there were times that he wasn't even sure where the confidence came from. Because as Mercedes Lewis said once, there's really no reason for us to be this confident. But it's almost like we're confident despite having any evidence to happen. But maybe that's what it took, because when you're in the abyss for as long as this team was, there's got to be something to get out of it, and maybe you just need to believe before it actually happens.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, hey, listen, those training camp things, and I've talked to Malik about this as well. You know, I mean, he's sitting there, what are we doing? Why are we killing ourselves here in this training camp?
He
and all
the
players,
only, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you're 3 weeks in, and guys were tired. But, you know, what he said was, comes December, their legs are fresh, and all that hard work truly paid dividends for this Jags team. And I think that's one way, too, that Doug Marrone is going to recapture their attention. This is not going to be an easy training camp. I would imagine that he's going to grind again, and he's going to try to use the same formula that helped this Jags team achieve so much success in 2017.
It's a quarterback league. It's fun to talk quarterbacks in the offseason. How do you see, just generally speaking, the draft, early thoughts on where this thing's going to go? How quarterback heavy is the top? And is it the most quarterback-centric draft you've seen? I think it's up there for me.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we're looking at three quarterbacks likely to go in the top five. And I just get the feeling Josh Allen is such an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has not completed more than 50% of his passes in two seasons. And I keep thinking Jake Locker, and that's not a good thought. But I see the arm strength, and I see the body type, and I see the comparisons to Carson Wentz. He had the same coach at University of Wyoming. And when you're playing in Cleveland, that strong-armed guy is going to be awfully tempting, especially with Todd Haley as offensive coordinator and the success he had working with Ben Roethlisberger. He's intriguing. Sam Darnold, I know he's not throwing here at the NFL Scouting Combine. In the big picture, probably not going to matter very much.
Right.
And then you've got Josh Rosen. Then things start to get a little bit interesting with Baker Mayfield. I could see him with the Miami Dolphins. I could see him and Adam Gase absolutely on the same page. The alpha male type guys, guys that are just so ultra competitive, and I could see them both bringing out the best in each other. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I'm probably looking to go in that direction. I just don't know where Ryan Tannehill can take this team. Lamar Jackson, you know, there's some thought, believe it or not. It's not only just, you know, is he better suited for his body frame to play wide receiver, but also communication skills. And and can he be able to effectively speak, and you know, in the huddle, and guys can understand what the play is. And and that's at least something that's been going around that I've heard. I don't know. I mean, I've talked to Lamar Jackson, and it's been fine.
Sure.
But that's something there. If we're looking to beat up on Lamar Jackson, we may as well go with that. But then you got the Luke Fox. You got the Mike Whites. You know, guys like this that are there. Mason Rudolph of Oklahoma State passed for a zillion yards with that offense. So, yeah, when we're talking 7-8 quarterbacks that are probably going to go in the first two rounds, I mean, that's awfully encouraging for teams, not to mention the free agency aspect of it.
Right.
With Kirk Cousins becoming available, obviously we'll be the top guy, but then where do we see Case Keenum? Where do we see Teddy Bridgewater? Where do we see A.J. McCarron? Guys who can start for teams, and then quality backups available. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mike Glennon, guys like this are out there as well. So it's a very intriguing quarterback world, and that carousel is going to be spinning quite a bit.
We'll close up with a couple. I asked Judy Batista this, and I don't know the answer to it.
Are you just trying to name drop at this point?
Yeah, I'll pick that up right here. It's would Kirk Cousins be the top pick in this draft?
No. No, you'd go with the younger guy.
And yet you're talking about paying a guy
Yeah, because he's ready. Because he's ready to play right now.
Right.
And if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you're in that position, you know, and again, it's like you're not going to Cleveland because by the time they're good, probably he's 2-3 years into the contract.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just trying to figure out now what is the best way to construct an NFL team. Should you go cheap?
You and everybody else here.
Right,
Alex,
but
by
cheap
the
at the, yeah, cheap at the quarterback position and hope that you, in 3-4 years, before you have to pay the guy the extension, that you built up enough of a team around him, you run the football, you play defense, and you win a championship that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it you need the veteran guy? And with Tom Brady, it's an anomaly in that Tom doesn't take top market value.
Right.
So, you know, we can't, you know, yeah, he's the right quarterback, but he's not chewing up so much of their cap that they don't have mm-hmm. flexibility to do things around him. So I just think that with this quarterback, I don't think Kirk Cousins would be that guy, but for some teams, he is the right guy
right.
to come in and lead their team. And that's why, you know, so much talk about the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins coming together.
Right.
The marriage makes sense, and they may think that he is that missing piece to get him over the top.
I wonder if this past season changes perspective. You had the Jaguars playing the Patriots AFC Championship game, obviously elite versus a guy who the team's been around. Then you had Nick Foles and Case Keenum and the other. You're talking about Brady and three guys who basically would not qualify as elite guys. This is such a copycat league that goes against
right.
The wind of elite quarterback needed. So you wonder where it goes from here. Do teams follow that, or do they say, no, we got to have an elite quarterback? So I don't know. Oftentimes you see trends that change the way. I don't think that changes the way, but you wonder.
Right. And, you know, look, the quarterback is still such an important position. Every play, he's guaranteed to have the ball in his hand
sure.
unless you're running a gimmick-type offense. So there is importance to that position, but how good do they have to be? Or do you have other things on your team that can help compensate it? And the Patriots, they're such an outlier.
Right.
There's nobody who does business like the Patriots. There's nobody who's better, more game plan specific, who looks at pieces of a team and realizes this guy does this well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put him in that spot. And then at that point, we'll work around that. We're not going to put James Harrison into coverage, for example. James Harrison is going to rush the quarterback. He'll play on rundowns.
Right.
He'll set the edge. That's it. They get it. You know, not every team runs their business.
But unless
like
you
that.
Have Belichick and Brady, you're not going to try to follow that path.
Exactly, right?
So.
I mean, that's the thing. So it's just, listen, what Philadelphia taught us, 2 years to completely rebuild a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy.
Unheard
but
of.
What you saw, though, was aggressiveness by a general manager who wasn't afraid to make mistakes. And I think that's been part of it now with younger GMs. They're not afraid to roll the dice. I think the old school NFL, those guys are becoming fewer and further between. And by the way, the lack of turnover at general manager this offseason has been pretty remarkable.
Pretty striking.
And the stability that guys are getting with big-time contract extensions. I mean, maybe the key is to be like a Ryan Pace in Chicago and win like 4 games and get an extension, or Mike Maccagnan and just, you know, maybe just not get your team in the playoffs, but all of a sudden get 2-3 more years to get your team right. I mean, really,
nice.
like it's guys are being given time. And listen, I like Ryan. I don't know Mike, but, you know, but you see my point here. It
sure.
is the teams are being a little bit more patient with the general manager, in fact, more so than the head coach.
Let's close out with this. Does the catch rule get changed? Do you think it'll
yes.
help? Are we going to see clarity on that going forward? That's one fans just drives
them nuts. Of course. I think the easy way, and this is my take on this, but when it comes to scoring plays, if you have possession of the football for enough time,
right.
for a second, whatever it is, make it like where you break the plane of the goal with the football, and that takes care of a lot of issues right there. Right.
Then you've got officials going back to where they've got to make judgment calls.
Well,
and the league doesn't like that.
Well, it depends. I don't know what the league likes anymore.
Well,
you know, because instant,
that's a fair point.
Yeah, because instant replay changed through the postseason, right?
Yeah.
You see the way that, you know, the over-aggressiveness through
right.
the playoffs as far as overturning calls late in the season, and then at the Super Bowl, you know, the Corey Clement play,
yeah.
that could have gone either way, right? But instead,
probably would have gone a different way during the regular season. You're
that's
right.
how I look yep. at it. So I don't know what the officials want, but you're right. And listen, it's not like this hasn't been addressed by the NFL before.
Right.
You know, it's just been a matter of explaining it so that everyone understands what this is. But I like the fact that there's a groundswell for it. And I will say this. Anytime there's a rule change that Roger Goodell champions, it gets done. We've seen the change in overtime rules. We've seen the change in extra point rules.
It's like back in the day, tags wanted replay, you got replay.
Got replay,
so
right.
That was what it was going to be.
Roger wields a heavy stick, despite what Jerry Jones may try to tell you. He's he's got the juice. So that's why I think we will see a change as far as that goes. Pass interference, that's a little bit of a trickier one as well. And when we talk about gray and subjective, you think, okay, so if we have a play where there's just an egregious tackle of a wide receiver
right.
downfield, would the official be given enough, you know, leeway to be able to say, okay,
right.
this was an egregious play, we're going to make
it a spot
foul?
Which they sort of do on punts, right?
Right.
Sort of do the same thing, 15-5 on punts.
Right. So is this a spot foul on a pass interference play, if you just tackle a guy or if you're making a play on the ball, then it's a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
And then you get into that sort of thing. And I just know that Mike Pereira, when he was head of officiating, he tried to make everything as black and white mm-hmm. as possible. It's one of the reasons that you have the rule of the out-of-bounds
force
pass.
Out, right.
The force out. He wanted it to be black and white, not have to an official to have that pressure on him. Well, as Mike has left, and we had Carl the Truth Johnson, and then we had, you know,
Blandino, the
Truth.
Yeah,
like,
Alex
but
the
every
truth
time I hear Carl, anytime I hear a Carl, it's always Carl the Truth. From
that's
the boxer,
fair.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But so we got Dean Blandino, and now with Al Riveron, I just think that that's changed a little mm-hmm. bit, and they're giving officials more. And listen, if we have full-time officials, and this sort of thing is supposed to bring all these changes and
right.
this positivity that the NFL keeps talking about, well, maybe they are better equipped to make those types of judgment calls because this is their full-time job. Just like here at Jaguars.com, this is your full-time gig.
Boy, and it's amazing that I keep getting by with it.
I've been called the big lie before, but I think really more and more I'm thinking
you're the truth or the big lie. You got to pick one.
One of the two.
I'll go with the truth.
I'll go with the truth too.
Buddy, I appreciate it.
Always.
That's Alex Marvez from Sporting News Radio and
Sporting News Radio.
Sporting
don't even exist anymore.
Well,
do I know something that you don't?
Yeah, no.
Or you
it's
know
just
something
me trying
I don't.
To He's me trying to close out the show. I'm not very good at this.
Well, JP, he just blew me off, so you're much better. So SiriusXM NFL Radio
and
Sporting News, at Alex Marvez on Twitter. And enjoy your time at Florida's First Coast. See you, Steely Dan.
Absolutely. It's Jaguars.com Live.